Ecclesiastes. We'll get back to the book of Ecclesiastes, but I did want to preach a message tonight in Proverbs chapter number 2. We'll also look a little bit at Proverbs chapter number 1. Thankful that day by day, we see how God takes care of us. It's nice. I know sometimes things are overwhelming. Sometimes things are hard, and it's just taking it day by day, each passing moment. And it's amazing how the Lord provides. It's amazing how the Lord protects. And it's amazing how the Lord just uses certain things in our lives, just trusting Him day after day after day. That's something that's an encouragement to me. And thank you for the song. Okay. Title of tonight's message is Steadfast in Our Pursuit of Wisdom. Steadfast in Our Pursuit of Wisdom. The theme for this year and the challenge for this year is to be steadfast, to be unmovable, to always be abounding in the work of the Lord. But more importantly, is not to let things change us, not to let things move us. Obviously, we're talking about the Holy Spirit of God, talking about the Word of God. Of course, those things can move us. But we're talking about not letting the circumstances of this world change who we are, not talking about the opinion of man, other things moving us from where we know we're supposed to be and where we should be. And one of the things I think that is, for many people, is the challenge of hearing from God. It seems like many times people are saying, Pastor, it's been a long time since I heard from the Lord. And it's not the fact that God's not trying to speak to us. He does. It's the idea with wisdom. Some people, man, that's a hard thing to look for. That's a hard thing to understand. Gaining knowledge and perspective, and we looked at probably a month ago, what a wise man looks like. And talked about how it's a person who will put God in the equation, not just remembering there is a God, but making Him Lord. And as you're making your decisions, you remember God, you're consciously in the presence of God, but also He's someone you're supposed to submit to, someone you're supposed to live for. So when we look about this, we're talking about being steadfast, is that I really want to encourage us this year to seek after wisdom and remain. It's now, I don't know, January, I think, 6th. Is that the right date? The 6th. Of course, that's been a famous date going on, and you know all the things going on in Washington, D.C. And there's a lot of people that made a commitment on January 1st, and I'm wondering how their commitment's still going. And many times when they have a New Year's resolution, it will last a week or 2 weeks. Sometimes people last for the whole year. But when it comes to reading the Word of God, it's a challenge for some people to stay in it and be steadfast about it. So tonight I'd like to look at how to get wisdom and how to be steadfast in this pursuit. Proverbs chapter number 2 is probably one of my favorite proverbs in all the book of Proverbs, and it's because of the fact that it talks about wisdom and how to get wisdom. The one thing I want to remind you is first and foremost is wisdom is available. Wisdom is available. There's promises in the book that tells us that God is willing to give us the wisdom that we need to go through the waters that we're facing, to go through the rough times and the good times, the bad times and through the good times. You know, all those different things, he says, there is wisdom available there to you. Remember what James 1:5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And he says, look, he's there. He's saying, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Now, it says ask with faith, nothing wavering. But at the same time, he says, look, there is wisdom available, and God wants us to have that. I think sometimes we forget that. We think it's my mission to figure out what God wants me to do, and it's a challenge. And once again, you're going to see this, that we need to stay steadfast. It's not something once we get one answer to prayer, I got my answer to prayer, and then I'm going to forget everything else and get that one answer and stop asking him. We need to be continual. It needs to be something that is constant, looking, searching, asking, and seeking. And so when we talk about being steadfast, and we got our new banner up there, and it's talking, and hopefully it will remain steadfast and unmovable in this pursuit of wisdom because it's available. He says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. He's saying, look, ask me. I know what you need. And then he says, he gives to all men liberally. He doesn't skimp on it. He doesn't say, oh, no, I'm going to hold this back for you. No, he wants to give us wisdom. And he says he's not going to upbraid us, means he's not going to make us feel stupid. And he says, I mean, you've never learned that? That's one of the things that I have a challenge with. When somebody talks down to me, or tries to say, make you feel like you're stupid. Sometimes the flesh gets in me and I want to show them how stupid they are. I want to respond in a way, you think I'm stupid. Well, what about this? And what about this? And what about this? Because usually I try to be a person that is not aggressive. But if somebody tries to make me feel like I'm an idiot, I'll show them, hey, I might be an idiot, but you are too. And I got to make sure I stay out of that fleshly side of things. God says, look, I'm going to give it to you. He says, only thing I want you to do is once you ask in faith, once you believe that I'm going to give it to you. So when we look at all these different things, I want us to consider this tonight, that wisdom is available. Not only is wisdom available, look what it says in chapter number 1. Look what it says in verse number 20. Chapter 1, verse number 20. Wisdom crieth without. I don't know about you, but when I think about wisdom cry without, she uttered her voice in the street, she crieth in the chief places of concourse. That gives me this idea that not only is wisdom available, God wants, it's crying out. It's saying, hey, over here, pay attention. There's the word of God here. There's God. There's the Holy Spirit of God. I have the answer for you. It's crying out. Pay attention. You know what you're supposed to do. And he keeps on going. And I enjoy these verses here. And it says, in the openings of the gates in the city, she uttered her word, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity, and the scorners delight in scorning, and fools hate knowledge? Turn ye at my reproof. Listen to what it says. I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. And God's saying, hey, look, I'm going to give my words to you. I'm going to give an explanation there. Because I have called and ye refuse. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But you have set at naught all my counsel and with none of my reproof. And it's there and it says, look, wisdom is there and it's available. So why aren't Christians acting more wisely? Why are Christians struggling with so many things? Why are they being weak in certain areas and bold in areas maybe they don't need to be bold in? Why are they struggling being anemic in their Christian lives and always falling for sin and living in bondage? It's because I don't think they're steadfast in this pursuit. God has wisdom here for us. It's available. It's crying out in the street. It's not like he doesn't tell us to get it. It says not only is wisdom available, we need to get wisdom. Proverbs 4:5 says, get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. Proverbs 4:7 says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom with all thy getting, get understanding. He says, if there is anything you're going to go after wisdom. That's the principal thing. It's valuable. How much better is it to get wisdom than gold and to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver? And you think about it. We pursue after gold and silver and the things of this world. He says, but how much better is it to pursue after wisdom? And I'm good with people being focused and steadfast and trying to earn a living and trying to do things so they can give more and they can be more generous and they can have some other things. I get all that. And sometimes people are focused and I see them working hard and I see them maybe get a second job or third job to just get a certain thing or maybe even to help me. And they become focused on that. And the Bible says, look, if you would be steadfast in wisdom, then you will have greater understanding for how to use those things that we have. So let's look here. And I think we're just going to walk through the passages of Scripture. There's a lot of different things there. There's not a particular outline, but it builds. You're going to see in verses 1 through 4 how to find wisdom. And then in verses 5 through 9, you're going to see some of the benefits. And in verses 10 through the rest of the chapter, you're going to see how wisdom will keep you out of a lot of trouble. And that's important, because if we have wisdom, believe me, we wouldn't say some of the things we do say, and we wouldn't do some of the things that we do, because we have wisdom. We have God's knowledge on the situation. We have God's heart on the situation. We see that God is there, we understand that God's there, and we want to do it according to his way. So let's jump in here, Proverbs chapter number 2. Let's look in verse number 1, my son. If thou will receive my words. So the first thing we have to do is be willing to receive the words of God. If we truly want wisdom, you're going to have to receive the words of God. Now, what do you mean by receive the words of God? Yeah, you're listening right now, right? Now, I bet you there's some people in this room that's listening on purpose and with intent. I bet you there's some that are kind of halfway listening, halfway not, and there may be even a few that are trying to fight sleeping or counting how many ceiling tiles we have in there. There's a few that might not be paying attention. But when you left the room, you would say, hey, we all received the Word of God tonight. I want you to understand, receiving the Word of God means that you understand who it comes from. It's not from man. It's God's Word that's written here. And I'm seeing it not as word from men, as God's Word. And that's what those words are. And that's what he's saying to him. He says, if you really, truly want wisdom, if thou will receive my words. Now, receiving it is good. Seeing it as, okay, this is God's word. And when we look at certain principles, okay, that is God's word. And the next step is, hide my commandments with thee. So not only are we going to receive the words of God, we're going to actually hide them in our hearts. I know what you're saying, Pastor. I can't memorize like I used to. Okay. But hide the words that you can. There are certain things that we don't forget. Most of us would never forget our husband or our wife's anniversary. Or, I don't know, maybe not. Maybe their birthdays. Well, as you get older, I know there are certain things that you don't remember. But there are certain things that are important to us that we remember. And God says, if you want wisdom, you're going to take it and you're going to receive my words. You're never going to ever get there unless you know his words and say that they're God's words. The next thing is you hide them in your heart. But there's another step after that. Growing up, I saw people, even as a youth pastor, we used to have this Bible quizzing. I don't know, we don't do it anymore. I used to be a Bible quizzer. I actually wasn't that bad at it. And the Bible quizzing, you say, what's that? Well, at our school time, we had five people against five people, and we competed in other schools. It was like an event, and you sat on these little pads. And when you stood up, whoever they asked you a question, the first person that stands up gets to answer the question. And you say, well, how do they know who stood up first? It's whoever gets off the pad the quickest. It goes, it's like an athletic event, but it's Bible quizzing. And so I was there, and I used to jump up and down. I used to be able to answer some of the questions. And then I did it from 7th grade all the way through 12th grade, and I enjoyed doing it. And then when we came here as the assistant pastor, youth pastor, we had Bible quizzing that was here among some other churches that was up in the Virginia area. And there used to be this big competition. Now, they did it one-on-one. You know, there was only one person from each church. And it was amazing to me that even when I was in high school, and even some kids, even in our youth group, that can memorize, usually we'd have three chapters. And sometimes they would take those three chapters and they would memorize those three chapters, just like that. I was surprised by it, but I also learned something too. Even though I did okay at Bible quizzing, and even though some of our kids did okay in Bible quizzing, and even if we had memorized the whole chapters, doesn't mean that they were spiritually minded. I saw people, and even myself, I can memorize. And when we have a team of five, they would like do a whole book. And, you know, you get these three chapters, you get these three chapters. Me, I did my three chapters. Then I wanted to do everybody else's chapters so I could show them I was better than they were. But, you know, just because I knew the most doesn't mean that I did verse number two. And just because of the fact that you receive them as God's words and you hide them in your hearts, you got to do what verse 2 says too. Look what it says. So that thou incline thy ear to wisdom. So what does the word incline your ear to wisdom? It means you pay special attention to it. You listen for it. You're not just hearing, you're listening on purpose. You're inclining your ear on purpose to learn something. Some people are a little bit softer when they speak, and you got to really incline. Sometimes you got to lean in to listen to them. Other times, it's sort of like hearing your favorite preacher or your favorite speaker when they come up, or something on TV you're trying to focus on and you're trying to listen to. You're listening on purpose. And some of us have maybe a favorite speaker or favorite preacher, and maybe they come around once a year, and you're excited about listening. You've been praying, and you don't want any distractions. You want to hear. What are you doing? You're inclining your ear. Sort of like if your favorite TV program comes on and you really want to hear, it drives you crazy when someone else is making noise, or it drives you crazy when someone else is talking. And that sometimes happens when there's maybe a sporting event on TV. Our boys don't want anybody to talk. Now, if there's something on there that maybe they don't want to watch, they don't have a problem talking at all, because there's one thing they're inclining their ear to and one thing is just noise. So what the scriptures are saying here is not only do you need to receive the words and not only do you need to hide them in your heart, you need to incline your ear, which means be paying special attention to the things you memorized. I remember those kids that would Bible quiz, and they have the perception out there. Now, don't get me wrong. Some of them did hide it in their heart, and they did apply it to their heart, and they did listen on purpose, and they were spiritually minded young people. And there was different times in my teenage years I would have considered myself a spiritually minded young person. But there's other times in my years that I just did it because of the fact I enjoyed the competition, and I enjoyed winning, and I enjoyed all those other things. So we had to incline our ears. But then what's the next phrase? And apply them. Apply thine heart to wisdom. Apply thine heart to wisdom. So we receive the words, we put them in our heart, we look at it on purpose to grow and learn from it. Now we take the things that we've learned and we apply it to our lives. So it's more than just receiving them. It's more than just putting them in your heart. It's more than just listening on purpose. And it's wonderful to study out a passage of scripture, but now you take it and you apply it to your lives. Now, this is the challenge here, even sometimes for preachers. Preachers are not perfect. I know some of you guys have met people, preachers, that think they're perfect, but they're not perfect. And they need to learn. And it's you can study out a message. Mike Thurman one time told me, he says, the devil will give you a really good outline. So what do you mean? I said, well, what does that mean? He says, well, devil will give you a really good outline to make it easy so you don't have to study very much. He says, but if you truly want something from God, you're going to have to seek, you're going to search for it. You're going to have to be praying. You're going to have to be on, you're going to have to be walking on, you know, holy ground in the sense. And you're going to have to be following after God and all those other things. He says, yeah, he'll give you something that will preach in the world's eyes. He says, but if you want to hear from God, you're going to have to listen. You're going to have to take those things you've learned and you're going to have to apply them to your heart. So just because of the fact that you've heard them and received them and hid them in your hearts, we need to look at it on purpose, and you need to apply it to your heart for understanding. You need to take those things that God has shown you while you have been looking into the Word of God, and you take those things and you apply them to your heart, your situation. When it says, like we're talking about tonight, receive my words. We take those principles. Okay, it's more than just receiving the words of God. Whose words are they? They're God's words. So how should we view those words? We should view them as something that is special and necessary. Now, I can't view them as just as a politician saying it, or that it's just a preacher saying it, or it's just my wife saying it, or my husband or my kids saying it. I'm receiving them as God's words. And we take the passage and we walk through it and understand, we incline our ears to it, we see what the passage is saying, and as we see what the passage is saying, we now take those things we've learned from God's teaching our heart through the Holy Spirit, and we apply them to our, what it says, understanding. Something we apply for our understanding so we can learn from what the Bible says. We don't just come to mark off that we come to church. Hopefully we come to learn and come to grow. The things that we heard, the things we've been a part of, it's something that we learn from and we apply it to our heart, and then it keeps on. You say, Pastor, that's great. Those are two awesome verses. It doesn't stop there. It says you got to keep on going. Now, how many of our Bible reading is like this? How many of our steadfast in our pursuit after wisdom is like this? Not a lot. We're good doing verse number one. And receiving his words, reading it. Boy, if we're going to memorize it, man, we're taking a step out. But then to consider that we're inclining our ears to it, meaning that we're meditating on it, and as we meditate on it, we're going to apply it to our hearts. And then in verse number three, it says, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and lifted up thy voice for understanding, it means that we're supposed to ask God. And that idea of crying after it, it means that we're raising our voice. It doesn't just say, criest after knowledge. Then it goes up, and lifteth up thy voice. And when I'm looking at this, I'm saying, okay, as I'm searching, I see a passage. I've applied it to my heart. And now I'm saying, God, please help drill this deep into my life. And not just be simple-minded about it, but be serious, be steadfast, lifting up our hearts, seeing where we're wicked, seeing where we're wrong, seeing how much I need God's help. And I'm, God, will you please make this real in my life? Will you help me be steadfast? Will you help me in this area? I see what you're saying. I want wisdom. I want to take this passage of scripture and I want to apply it to my heart. God, please help me. And then it continues on in verse number 4. It doesn't even just stop there. It tells you, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as hid treasures. So it means that we're supposed to continue on seeking. We're never going to exhaust the wonders of the Bible. We're never going to understand the mind of God in its complete form. It's too high. It's too mighty. We can have the mind of Christ. How can we have? That's exactly what we're talking about. Getting to the mind of Christ by understanding and seeking and searching. Lord, I want your heart attitude about it. I'm tired of myself. I'm tired of my ways. I'm tired of man's ways. What is it that you're saying here? I don't want to take this scripture and make it work to what I'm trying to say. I want to look at it from the whole context. Teach me, show me. And then sometimes it is searching. And it's, if thou seekest her silver, searchest for her as hid treasures. I've used just as an illustration before. If I said there was $1 million hidden somewhere on the property, all you got to do is find it. And once you find it, you can have it. Can you imagine how much people would be tearing up the church to get it done? Finding it, looking for it. I mean, outside, digging holes, tearing. I don't know. They would work very hard because they're searching for hid treasures. I think they would work very very determined, very focused, and they would not stop until they got it done. But how often do we seek after God's word like that? How often do we seek wisdom like that? We're determined, we're focused, and we're not going to stop until we get an answer. Remember, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God to give it to all men liberally, give it all to men liberally and upbraid if not, and it shall be given him. The answer's there. He wants to give us the answer. Sometimes when he seems like he's remaining silent, I think we got to push forward as we're living for God. God gives us wisdom, and sometimes we have to just make the decision based off the truths that we have. But most of the time, if we seek for it, God says he has it. So what's the reward? Verses 1 through 4 talk about the pursuit of it. What's the reward? It's found in verse number 5. Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. To some people, that is a phrase, the fear of the Lord. And what is the fear of the Lord? It's the beginning of wisdom. So what does that mean? That's what it says. You're going to understand it. Once you do verses 1, 2, 3, and 4, you're going to understand what the fear of the Lord is. You're going to understand what it means to stand in awe of him and respect him. Not wanting to disappoint him, not willing to fail him, because not because you're afraid of him, but because of the fact that you reverence him so much that you would never want to disappoint him. And it says the fear of the Lord, that you're going to understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. You're going to see things the way that God sees them. I think sometimes our Christianity has become so watered down that we see things through the way our friends see them, or our pastor sees them, or where we brought up saw them, what is accepted amongst our membership sees them. But he's saying here that you're going to find what it means to fear the Lord, but also the knowledge and find the knowledge of God. And then it continues on, where do we get wisdom? It comes from God. It says, for the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. So we get wisdom. It comes from the Lord. Remember, it's there. It's available. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. So see, here's some of the different things he's saying. Look, he lays up the sound wisdom for those that are doing what's right. He is a buckler. He becomes a shield to them that are walking uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. There's protection he's talking about there. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. So you want understanding. You know, what is right? What is wrong? What is righteousness? And in a day and time where it looks like the world has gone crazy and you seem like America and its freedoms is just slipping away and you're wondering, what in the world should we do? What is right and what is wrong? He's saying if you put God first, you seek after it, God will lead you and direct you. You shall understand righteousness and judgment and equity. Yea, every good path. When wisdom entereth into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. So when the wisdom comes into your heart and that knowledge is something that is pleasant for you, it's not something you revolt at the correction of the Lord, the judgment of God, as he's showing you things, you don't say, I don't want that, because you're never going to get wisdom from God by saying, I don't want that. You're going to get wisdom from God and saying, God, I'm crying after your wisdom. I want your knowledge. Give me what it is that I need, because I'm receiving your words. And not only am I receiving them, I'm hiding them in my heart. Not only am I hiding them, I'm listening for what you have to say. I'm applying it to my understanding, and then I'm crying after it. I want to hear your voice. I'm lifting up my voice. I'm seeking it as gold and as for hid treasure. Then you're going to understand the fear of the Lord. And then he continues on in verse number 11. And it says, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. I like that word, discretion shall preserve thee. And discretion is what a great Bible word. And sometime we'll probably look at that. But tonight it's the idea how God's wisdom will keep you out of a lot of trouble. You ever gotten yourself in a lot of trouble? You ever said something you shouldn't have said? That's me. Sometimes you might think, hey, he's a pastor, he's got to be friendly with people, he's got to talk to people. That's not really my personality as much as some of you might think. Sometimes when I feel uncomfortable around somebody, I talk, and I talk a little bit too much, and I keep on talking, and all I'm trying to do is be friendly, but sometimes with my personality, people don't understand if I'm joking. They'll look at me kind of funny, and it's like, what was that for? I was just trying to be humorous, and sometimes people just don't understand my humor, and that's just me. Sometimes there's a few people in our church I have had to establish a relationship with them by saying, you know, I'm just kidding. So there's certain people I try not to joke around with because of the fact that I offend them sometimes, and it's never the purpose. It's just how it comes out. If I had God's wisdom in my heart some more, then I think discretion would preserve me a little bit better. If I would know what needs to be said and when it needs to be said and how it needs to be said, so that way people would be understand the leadership that I get to have the privilege of helping do. So discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. So if you want to know how to stay out of a lot of trouble, be steadfast in this pursuit of wisdom. And once again, pursuing after wisdom doesn't mean I'm just reading my Bible and shutting it. It means that I'm receiving the Word of God, I'm memorizing, I'm listening on purpose, I am applying the things I've learned, I'm crying after it, I'm seeking for it as hid treasure, and then I allow God, they're pleasant things for me. They're not things I'm taking away, they're pleasant to my soul, and I'm allowing them to keep me safe. And then you have verses 12 through 22, and it talks about how it keeps you out of trouble a little bit. We'll go through these fairly quickly. To deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward way. So he's saying that this wisdom and that the knowledge of God is going to keep you from the way of the evil man. So what do you mean? It means that we're going to know when a person is evil. We're going to know when a person's wrong. We're going to know when a person's speaking froward things. Because why? Because there are people who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and they froward in their paths. So he gives a description of this wicked man. And sometimes we look at people and we see people who seem like they were rock solid in their faith and rock solid in their beliefs and, you know, a good Christian. And then you see them chasing after something that is ungodly and it's wrong, and you wonder, whatever happened to them? They stopped being steadfast when it came to the pursuing after wisdom. They stop looking at this and making this their goal and their pursuit and began pursuing other things. Not only is it talking about the evil man, then it also talks about the strange woman. And we talked a little bit about that when we went through the book of Ecclesiastes. A strange woman, many times when you see the word strange woman, it means something that does not belong to you. Doesn't mean it's always a harlot. Doesn't mean somebody that's immoral always, even though that it is something. And we talked about strange women, talked about those in Hollywood, all those other things. But at the same time, something that does not belong to you. And if you have wisdom, then guess what? It says it will help you with that also. Verse number 16, to deliver thee from the strange woman. And you think about the word deliver, it means saving them. And that's what wisdom does. It keeps us away from the evil man and the strange woman. It keeps us with an understanding why we're here, what our purpose for being here, and how we're supposed to live. There's certain relationships we're not going to be a part of. There's certain places we're not going to go. There's certain things we're not going to do, because wisdom tells us, hey, there's a red flag here. Stop it. Don't do it. Don't be a part of it. That's because we're seeking after God's wisdom. But when we pursue after other things and we're not steadfast in this pursuit, we open ourselves up for the evil man. And look what it says about the strange woman. To deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger who flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. For her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life. So what and that thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteous. So what you're saying is wisdom is going to keep you from that type of relationship and that wrong relationship, because there's people in the world that are going to try to cause you to do what's wrong. There are people out there that are going to try to, whether it's the evil man or strange woman, that is going to try to cause someone to do something immoral. I know we spent a few minutes about it, but there are people out there that are not our friends. There are people out there that are trying to make money off of other people. There are people that will dress certain ways so that way they'll try to sell their product. There are people who make videos to try to cause them to have lustful and fornication type thoughts. There's people out there that are trying to take you away from your walk with God. And that's what he's saying here, is this wisdom that is found here is something that will keep you from a mess of trouble. You won't put your foot in the mouth as much. You'll stay away from relationships that are causing you to go away from God. You'll understand the truths of the Word of God. And that's what he's saying in verse number 20, that you may walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteous, for the upright shall dwell in the land and the perfect shall remain in it. But the wicked, they shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it. So I look at this passage of Scripture, I'm thinking, why don't I do that more? Why don't we do that more? There's many Christians out there that take the Word of God, some that even receive it, some that even have it memorized, but they're not listening for what God has for them. They're not applying it to their understanding. They already have it set. They're steadfast about something, as we talked about Sunday morning. They're steadfast in their Bible doctrine. You're not going to change me, and that's a good thing. But when we take the Word of God that we already have in our heart, and we begin to apply it to our lives, and we begin to seek after God's wisdom and apply it to our understanding, that's when it keeps us from trouble. That's when you see all the benefits. But most of us, we struggle with even reading the Word of God. Most of us have a problem of just reading more than one chapter. And when we do read it, we read it to accomplish it so we can feel like we've done our work today. I want to challenge you today. If we're going to talk this year about being steadfast about certain things, and Sunday morning was, don't let things stop you. What has been stopping us from searching the Scriptures? What is it that's been holding us back? Paul said, none of these things move me, neither I count my life dear unto myself, that I may finish my course with joy. Steadfast with our pursuit of wisdom. Many of us struggle with even reading it. We're not going to find wisdom unless we get into his word. Tonight, let me encourage you, be steadfast in your pursuit of wisdom. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for your word. As I consider my own life, I've probably been saved for over 35 years. The word of God hasn't changed. There is wisdom that is available. Lord, even wisdom that's crying out to us. We've been told all these years in all our lives, get wisdom is the principal thing. But so many of us still walk around with our own wisdom, not even putting you in our knowledge. Definitely not putting you first. Lord, I pray as we make commitments, and I don't think we should make any type of commitment that's not led by you, but as we let you work in our hearts and life, that we would make a commitment to be steadfast when it comes to this pursuit of wisdom. Help us not only just receive your words, help us to memorize them, hide them in our hearts. not just hide them in our hearts, but listen on purpose to the things that we've memorized, and then take those things and apply them to our lives. To ask you for help, not just asking in a passive way, but crying out and lifting up our voices as we search for your wisdom, as we would search for a hid treasure. Help us to understand the fear of the Lord. Help us to find the knowledge of God. Help us have the mind of God when it comes to certain things in our lives. Lord, speak to our hearts. We need to be steadfast in this pursuit. We're good at being steadfast on certain things, but this is one of the most important. In Jesus' name, amen.